All right, so we're into hour number three. Welcome to the program. Good morning, good afternoon. Nice to have you wherever you are. Tremendous Tuesday to you. All right, so let me start you off. We are efforting San Diego State head coach Brian Dutcher. I'm going to find him momentarily, but in the meantime, I do want to remind you of the telephone number. It is toll-free. It's good in California. It's good in the U.S. It's good in Canada. It's good wherever you are. 1-800-636-8686. Final Four, one of the most amazing, intriguing Final Fours ever. We are joined right now by the head coach at San Diego State. He's guided the Aztecs to three straight NCAA tournaments. This is their first Final Four in school history. The Aztecs are 32-6. They went 15-3 in conference play. They won their regular season and conference tournament titles. They were the five in the South. They advanced to the Final Four, where they're going to take on Florida Atlantic in Houston on Saturday. That game is 6 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Brian Dutcher is my guest. Brian, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Great, Jim. It's good to be with you.
Good to have you, Brian. Thanks so much for making time for us. Let me ask you, and I know I speak from experience because San Diego is, in fact, America's finest city. It is a great sports town, but it's taken its share of lumps over the years. But, Brian, I've lived there. I've worked there. I know that when it's good, it is incredible as a sports town. How is the community responding to this run, and how hyped is Aztec Nation right now?
We've got incredible fan support, Jim. You know that. The Ahas Arena sold out every game. Our student section, the show, is as good as there is in the country. And the city embraces San Diego State. I mean, obviously, when the Chargers left, that was tough. But the Padres have put a great product on the field right at the cusp of greatness. And now San Diego State basketball continues to win, and now on the biggest stage.
It is great. Brian Dutcher joining us. It is the biggest stage. Now, you've said it yourself, quote, we are a defensive-first team. Everybody knows that about us, and our defense carries us, end of quote. I'm amazed at how hard you guys play defensively. Let me ask you this. Does playing elite-level defense require elite talent or elite desire?
It's a combination of both, Jim, obviously. We have great talent. That's not what I want to get lost, that we're just winning because we play hard. We have great talent that plays hard. And so we really put it together at the defensive end. We're connected like five fingers on a hand. We work together, and we're able to get stops. And then if we can score enough points, we find a way to win.
One more thought about that, Brian. I'm hearing what you're saying. I totally get it. But when you talk about that defensive standard that you're insisting upon, can you teach that, or do you have to recruit it, or is that also both?
We teach it, obviously. But it's part of our culture, Jim. When we recruit a kid, we tell him, you know, if you come here, you have to defend. You have to defend at a high level, and then offensively, we'll let you play with great freedom. And so when they agree to come and they don't play because they're not guarding, we can go back and say, we told you that before you came here. This is what it is. You agreed to this. And so we get great buy-in. It's not like we get them here and then tell them they have to play defense. They know what it is, and then they like the freedom they get to play with offensively.
We're talking San Diego State basketball. Brian Dutcher is the head coach there. Hey, Brian, you're not going to make it about you. You never will, but I want. So I will. So I'll do it for you. You spent 9 years as an assistant coach with Steve Fisher at Michigan, 18 more years with him at San Diego State before you finally get this shot to take over the program. Given the journey that you traveled, what is it like to be in the Final Four after all that time, all that work, all the sacrifices?
It's really gratifying, and it's not only for me, Jim. I'm not a guy that sees that, obviously. I'm happy for our staff. I'm most happy for our players. And I've had a chance to go. I went three times with Coach Fisher. So I embraced every one of them. And you never know if you're ever going to get to go back. And now that we get to go back, I'm just happy for our team getting to experience something that nobody usually gets to experience.
Now, Brian, you had a chance to go, and then you had a chance to go. And what I mean by that is you did go. In 1989, you went to the Final Four with Steve Fisher, and you were a part of that Fab Five era. And you had a lot to do with that, by the way. You were a great, great recruiter then. You are now. Safe to assume you could have left San Diego State for your own head coaching opportunity at some point. Why did you never do that?
I was just always happy with where I was at. You know, obviously I wanted to be a head coach. And everybody's path is different. I tell that when assistants come and go, that you have to choose your own path, and this is the path I chose. I know how hard a business it is, and if I wanted to retire in this business, I had to make wise choices. And so the best opportunity for me was just to stay here, especially once they named me coach in waiting. Then I had the the knowledge that when Coach did retire, whenever that was, I was taking over something that I helped build with him.
We're talking San Diego State basketball. Brian Detra, my guest. So you shouted out to Steve Fisher after your Elite Eight win. Given the time you spent with him, what has he meant to you, both personally and professionally?
I mean, a tremendous mentor and a tremendous friend, you know. And I always said with Coach Fisher, they always asked me what his greatest quality was, and I always said in a world of talkers, he was a great listener. And so hopefully I become a better listener over my years of being a coach.
So let me ask you this. How huge of a kick is he getting out of this run?
Oh, he's loving it. Loves every minute of it. This is the vision we sold when we came here, you know, 25 years ago, that this was a possibility. And now to see it happen, they weren't empty words. They weren't empty promises. We truly believe in our hearts that we could build a program here that was worthy of making a Final Four.
Hey, Brian, listen, it is America's finest city. There have been some really good players there, but what did you guys see? Frankly, what did you see 25 years ago in that program? What made you believe that this, in fact, could become the reality that it is right now?
Because it's a great university. We have great facilities. Viejas Arena had just been built, and so we had an arena that would attract players. We were in great recruiting territory, the Inland Empire, down the road from L.A., that we had recruits that were drivable distances from our campus, and that we believe that we could convince enough good players to come here and buy in. And that's what happened.
That is what happened. Brian Detra joining us. So, Brian, March. Is March for really good coaches, or is March for really good players?
I've always said March is for players. Coaches, we have to put them in a position to win. But whether you win or not is based on those one shining moments, the players that step up and make plays on the biggest stage, and marches for players.
So what about those players? I've always wondered, Brian, the guys that are willing to step up, the guys who want the ball, the guys who want the shot, the guys who want that big stage, is that a product of preparation, or are they hardwired for it? Where do those guys come from?
It's just in their nature. It's how they've come up. It's the work they've put in. Darian Trammell was struggling, you know, scoring the ball. And I'd like to say, oh, I did this and that to help him out of that slump. All he did was believe in himself more than anybody else, and he didn't shy away, and he started shooting that ball. He didn't care what I wanted. He felt he was going to make it. And so credit to Darian for being tough-minded and just being ready for his moment.
So it sounds like you didn't need to tell him to keep shooting. He just knew.
Oh, he was going to shoot it whether I told him to shoot it or not. I might have told him not to shoot it. He was going to shoot it. And that's what good players do. You know, so sometimes they overcome coaching to be great.
That's awesome. Brian Detra joining me for another moment or so. So how good does it feel to know that as a head coach, you've got seven or eight dudes that can either get you a critical bucket or a critical stop or both late in any game, regardless of how big the stage is?
Yeah, our depth is our strength. We go nine deep. Everybody plays 20-some minutes a game, and we never know who's going to be the guy on a given night. Maybe we start Matt Bradley, and he's rolling all game, and we ride with that. Maybe he's having a tough night, and Micah Parrish comes in and goes for 14 in the first half. And then we play that group. Whatever one's rolling is the one in at the end of the game. And so every game is different. That makes it a challenge as a coach, but it's kind of fun to see which group is playing the best and then ride that group at the end of a game.
Let me ask you, it makes it tough, makes it challenging for you as a coach, but do the guys themselves do, I mean, they want to be the guy, but do they care who the guy is? Are they selfless like that?
Yeah, everybody wants to play a deep bench, but most of the time you're massaging egos when you do. This team has bought into that concept. They want to win more than anything else. And I'm not going to say people don't get frustrated. Yeah, you want to be in all the time, but they're willing to accept that with this team and embrace it, and that's why we've been so good, because everybody's willing to accept that we're nine deep, and it might not be their night every night.
All right, so a final thought. When you watch, and what a great matchup. This is a fascinating matchup. When you watch FAU on tape, what jumps out at you, and what is your biggest concern in matching up with them?
They're the winningest team in the country. They've got more wins than anybody. They're deep as we are. They go 9 or 10 deep. They're playing. Nobody's playing over 26 minutes a game for them. And so it's two teams that are deep, that have bought in to being deep, and it'll be a heck of a matchup.
Hey, Brian, one thought. I know you're not playing one-on-one with Dusty May, and I understand what you just said about March being for players. Now, what can you say about a guy who is in charge of a program that had never won an NCAA tournament game before this year and is in the Final Four? I mean, it's so hard for me to even get my mind wrapped around that. What do you think about that achievement?
just an incredible achievement by what he's done this year, greatest season in the program's history. And this is what our path has been. Everyone talks about our path. Charleston, the greatest season in the school's history. Furman, the greatest season in the school's history. And now Florida Atlantic, the greatest season in the school's history. So we may not all be blue bloods, but we've got good teams that care and want to win.
Yeah, that's the absolute truth, right? I mean, do you believe in things like fate, destiny, the universe, or only in matchups and who's in front of you?
A lot of it's matchups, but it's like you said, Jim, we talked a minute ago, it's all about players. You know, not shying away from the moment, not being afraid of the moment, being fearless. And that's what I said to the guys in Louisville. That's what Muhammad Ali said, confidence. It's all about being fearless, and we're playing fearless, and so are they.
All right, so leave me with this thought, though, Brian. It's all about being fearless, but you can't be fearless unless you do the work, right? Or can you?
No, you have to put the hours in. You know, these kids put hours in. We work long hours as coaches, but they work long hours in the gym long after we've gone home, trying to perfect their trade, their shot, their ability to make timely free throws, and they've earned their march moment, and so I'm just so happy for the players in every program that gets to experience it.
I'm happy for them. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for San Diego. It's great. It's all a great, great story. San Diego State's won 32 games. They had a great running conference, and they're in the Final Four for the first time. Brian, I appreciate you, and I appreciate you making time in what is obviously a very busy week. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
You got it, Dutch. Great talking to you, Brian Dutcher. We said it. The Big Head and I were talking about this on our segment last Friday when we were talking about San Diego State. And we talked about how tough they are physically, how good they are defensively, how they hit the glass. And we said, and they've got a hell of a coach in Brian Dutcher. You know, he made the point very early on in the interview because everybody's talking about, man, they're good defensively. Man, they are so tough. They are so physical. They hit the glass. He said, listen, we are those things. We do those things. But don't get it twisted. We are a talented team. We have really good players. Yes, we're tough. Yes, we're a great defensive team. Yes, we go to the glass. But make no mistake, we have really good players. In other words, don't shortchange us. Don't shortchange us as guys that aren't that good, but just really tough-minded. They're both. They absolutely are both. And I love that the Aztecs are in the Final Four. I love that FAU is in the Final Four. I love that the U is in the Final Four. And yes, I want to go back to UConn. UConn is a legitimate blue blood. He referenced the blue bloods at the end of the conversation. UConn is. UConn's got four natties. They're looking to make it five. They're the ones to beat this weekend. I'm not saying they win. But they are going in. Nobody's played better. Nobody's hotter. They are the ones to beat. Check any book. They're the ones to beat. They don't need to win a fifth to be a legitimate blue blood. They are a legitimate blue blood. All right, when we come back, San Diego reaction. How are you not hyped? He just said it. I mean, the Padres obviously could not be any more committed and any more exciting than they are right now. I mean, maybe the team to beat in the NL West over the Dodgers. Maybe. And the Aztecs are back. With a vengeance. Not even back with a vengeance. They're somewhere they've never been before, and that's been a really productive program over the years. Damn good to be in San Diego. Really good to be in San Diego. Love to hear from you. 1-800-636-8686. We will take a short time out. I'd love to get a good phone call in here. Maybe some good reaction. Also, my thoughts on the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. The Ump Show, rearing its ugly head. And you're running out of time. One more minute for the jungle, the entire jungle. You're on the clock. Call now. Operator standing by.
The clock.
A.K.A. Chalk and Jack Savage. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Hi. I did just learn that Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned doubled. The cash back from trips, restaurants, all doubled. Seriously, though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. All right, so I'll get a phone call in a minute, but I want to say this. I know a baseball fan is still coming down from the incredible high that was the World Baseball Classic. I mean, that makes sense, right? Now, I also understand that's one of the more ridiculous statements I've ever made in my life. But here it is again. I know a baseball fan is still coming down from that incredible high of the World Baseball Classic. Like, I can't believe I said that twice and meant it, but I do. However, I'm not really sure that baseball fan has gotten around to resetting and recalibrating and refocusing for opening day. Because as a heads up, opening day is Thursday. As in 2 days from right now. As in, that means Sean Casey will probably be coming around here. Baseball fan may still, however, be in WBC mode. Who knows? But I have good news. The Ump Show is in mid-season form already, which actually is not good news at all. It's horrible news because it means that the umps are already doing a terrible job and blowing it at the worst possible times. And most importantly of all, as always, making it all about themselves. Because we all know that everybody shows up to a Major League Baseball game to see the Ump Show. Nobody is more confident of that fact than the stars of that show, the umps. Don't believe me? Ask Randy Rosenberg, a.k.a., and by the way, if I know his name, that's a problem. If I know Randy Rosenberg, that's a problem. And I follow this. If you know Randy Rosenberg, that's one of the biggest problems ever. Because you don't follow this. You're not paid to follow this. A.K.A. the dude behind the dish for the Phillies preseason game yesterday, who decided to get all butthurt for no reason and run JT Realmuto for one of the most absurd reasons you're ever going to see. Like, I've seen some idiotic moves by the umps starting in the Ump Show. I have never, ever seen anything like this.
Kimbrough says, I don't like that call. Now, here's the action right here. And the umpire felt like Realmuto took his bum out of the way. And I think Realmuto didn't sense that the ball was on its way, so he just figured the umpire was throwing it back to the mound.
Now, on the prior exchange, the umpire threw it out to Kimbrough. So, all right, you don't feel the ball. Get nestled into your glove. So he wasn't even looking back at the umpire. He just pulled his glove down.
All right, so that's exactly how that sounded. Those guys did a good job of describing what happened. But in case you missed that, the ump seriously thought that JT pulled a, quote, too slow
psych
on him and intentionally yanked his mitt away when the ump was trying to give him a new ball. So he snapped and he ran the dude. Never mind that that was actually... that what actually happened was incredibly obvious. Everybody knew it. Even the broadcast crew was all over it. It was really clear. JT thought the ump was throwing the fresh ball straight back to the pitcher as he had a second earlier. So the catcher pulls his mitt back thinking the ump is going to throw the ball to the pitcher. Except the ump this time was going to put the ball in the glove, but the glove had been pulled back. Bad timing. That's all. It happens.
Yeah, it happens.
It's nothing. It's nothing. It's a miscommunication. But of course, Blue took it personally. Of course, Blue thought that was some kind of an insult. Of course, Blue thought that the catcher was showing him up by ripping the glove away before he could drop the ball in it. Of course, Blue was not going to be shown up like that and insulted like that and made to look like that in public. Of course, Blue was looking for a reason to snap. and call attention to himself and make it all about him and enforce his authority and save the day by kicking out the big, mean, big, bad guy from spring training for showing him up the way he did. Never mind that JT had never been ejected from any game ever in his entire career. He said as much afterwards, quote, "First time I was ejected, it was a soft way to get thrown out." Listen, I'm a high school baseball dad. Both my kids have played high school baseball. I've seen it all. I've seen some of the worst umpires ever. I don't get too worked up about it because we're lucky to have umpires. They probably make $8 a game. They're out there trying. I've seen some bullcrap now, some high school bullcrap from behind the plate. And I've got a son who's a pitcher, so believe me, if anybody wants to take it personally, it's me. Especially the way Logs got lit up yesterday. Tough day. Anyway, I've seen high school bullcrap behind the plate. I've never seen that. Never seen that. That was the worst ejection ever. The softest ejection ever by the softest umpire ever. I've never seen a softer way to get run out of a game, and I don't even care if the game didn't count. That's neither here nor there. He literally ran the catcher for pulling his glove back when he was going to drop the ball into it.
Psych.
And then the catcher didn't even do it as a joke. He just thought that the ump was going to throw the ball back to the bump. The catcher didn't even know what the hell was happening until Blue nearly threw his back out running JT from the game. How great would that have been? Afterwards, the crew chief actually had the brass to try to defend Rosenberg, saying, quote, "Did Randy act hastily?" No. I believe Randy felt like the situation warranted an ejection, and that's what he did. End of quote. Yet, thanks for nothing, crew chief. Of course he felt like the situation warranted an ejection. That's why he ran the dude. Tell me something I don't know. Quote, "Did he act hastily?" No. He just ejected a guy for removing his glove when he tried to put a ball in the glove, but he didn't act hastily. It might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He ran the dude on a misunderstanding, then got all up in his feelings about that misunderstanding, but he didn't act hastily. This is kind of lame, but go to the dictionary. Look up the word hastily. There's a gigantic photograph of Rosenberg. Him running JT from the game, man. Not only did he act hastily, he acted stupidly. I mean, come on with that. And honestly, even if JT did, even if he did pull the too slow move on the ump intentionally in a spring training game, who the hell cares? That would have been the best thing about that spring training game. But you're going to run, dude, for that. You're really going to throw a temper tantrum for that. Man, the ump show is so out of hand. Obviously already in midseason form and obviously gripping harder than ever. You know why? Because they know the robo-umps are hanging over all of them. These dudes all know that they're on the way out. They all know, like all of us, AI, they all know that we're all on the verge of becoming obsolete. That's why they're gripping it so tightly. That's why crap like that is getting all up in their nerves and feelings. Keep it up, ump show. Keep it up. Keep it up. Then none of us will ever have to deal with the ump show ever again. Then none of us, quote, will ever come to the yard to see any of you ever again, because there will be none of you ever again if you keep running guys over stupid things like that.
Kimbrough says, "I don't like that call." Now, here's the action right here. And the umpire hey, felt baseball, like Realtor took his drum out.
Hey, baseball, can we not go back to the good old days?
The
good old days, the kinder, gentler times when baseball was fun, when baseball was known for firing bat kids, firing bat boys, firing bat girls. Can we not just go back to the good old days of last week when we used to fire bat kids to improve the game? Any other extraordinarily embarrassing incidents that you want to try and wedge in between the WBC and opening day? You've
like
got 2 days.
Call.
Top that, Magic. Top that, Magic. You've got 48 hours. What I would give to see something even worse than that. I'd pay good money for it. JT, I'd be like, wait, what? You're running me for that? Yo, man, don't you show me up. Not another word out of you. What are you talking about? What did I do? You're done. I've had enough.
What?
You're done.
No, I'm done.
What happened? What are you doing? What are you saying? I'm not saying it again, man. Get the showers. You're done. You're done. This conversation's over.
What?
And believe me, I've seen some high school bullcrap. I've experienced high school bullcrap. It's taken everything I've had not to respond to the high school bullcrap. That's worse than any high school bullcrap I've ever seen. All right, when we come back, one open segment. What do you say you pick me up, yo? What do you say you pick me up with a good phone call? 1-800-636-8686.
Yo.
I don't need 3, not 4, not 5, not 6. One good phone call. Somebody who can make it better. 1-800-636-8686. Hey, look at me. Getting out on time at the bottom of the hour. How you like me now? Here is your sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If this last segment we try a phone call only segment, I think it's possible. I think it's doable. I think it's feasible. I like it. Let's go to Sacktown. Now this guy, Ryan, is on the watch list, which would suggest that he's had some momentum. You don't get on the watch list unless you make a phone call or two or three that has our attention. Or maybe you just knock one out of the yard. You get one right on the screws. Whatever the case, his game is getting better and better and better. He's progressing. He's got momentum. I don't want to say that one bad call takes him off the watch list, but one bad call takes him off the watch list. Good news is, if he has another really good call in him, he goes from the watch list to a potential golden ticket. I'm just setting the stage because that's where this guy's at. I'd argue this guy is closer to a golden ticket than anybody else right now who doesn't already have one. The golden ticket gets you an invite to the most important day of the year on this program, the Smack Off. It's once a year. That's it. If you've ever even been in the Smack Off, you're a rare breed. If you've ever finished in the top 10 of a Smack Off, you're even rarer. If you're a top 3 finisher, you're the upper 1/100th. And if you've won that thing, you're a legend. That's how important this phone call can be. He's trying to get in the playing field. Let's find out if he's got what it takes. He's on the watch list for the time being. Ryan in Sacktown. Ryan, what's up?
What's up, JR? Hey, as an Aztec basketball alum, thanks for having Coach Dutch on. And I got to tell you, college basketball these days, this is exactly what we're going to go see going forward. It's parity, Jim. we're going to see the teams that have fourth and fifth year guys that are sitting there and gelling together instead of blue bloods that have one and dones. But anyways, I digress. What's the deal with Silk sideswiping the JTP? I mean, it's really no coincidence that he did. Have you seen his man wings lately? It's Silk. Is the charcuterie before or after the bra sessions at Lane Bryant, bro? I'm guessing a 36 double D bra. One last thing, man. What is the deal with me being on the same list as V in the fee? My wife is a little bit worried, Jim. I am not going to lie to you. V, your handle sounds like a curable freaking disease that you catch from the toilet seat at one of your bachelor parties.
That's not a good call. No. News is, Ryan, you don't like. You no longer call. Have to like explain to your wife why you're on the same list as V. Because you no longer are. Saying that Silk has moobs and that V has an STD is not getting you off of the watch list and into golden ticket territory. My man, your run has come to an end. Now, like anything else, you can start afresh. You can start anew. You can go to school on that. It's not too late. Smack off season hasn't even officially started yet, although we are close. I mean, dang, it's March 28th.
The smack off.
Can anybody explain to me how that happened? It's March 28th. Maybe we should start smack off season, Chalk. Anyway, if we do, Ryan's not part of it. It's all right, dude. Nice try. Nice try, though. To quote LeBron, nice try, though. Hey, Ryan, to quote LeBron, not a failure at all. Nice try, though. Hey, Ryan, to quote LeBron, Jim Rome speaks for himself. You're off the watch list. Nice try, though. But you're not a failure at all.
I mean, it's not a failure at all.
You know what that was, Ryan? That was the LeBron James of disappointing phone calls.
LeBron James of feet.
After I hyped you up, that was the LeBron James of disappointing jungle phone calls.
Feet.
All right, let's go to Wisconsin. Don in Wisco. Good to have you, Don. How are you?
I'm good, Tan Smack. Thanks for having me.
You got it.
All right, shout out from the great state of Wisco. Sadly, just got back from SoCal for a full week. But did get to try Javier's for my first time, so thank you for that, my friend.
Nice. I like it.
It was fantastic. I want to take a run at Ryan's watch list status here as a first-time, long-time. And I'm obviously calling about Rodgers, the quarterback we love to hate here as of late. So I kind of equate it to, shout-out to last Sunday's sermon at church about Lazarus coming out of his darkness tomb. The difference, though, for Lazarus is that he didn't come out fronting to the apostles saying that Jesus didn't reach out to him before he went in and he would like direct communication. No, our boy came out and lied to all of us saying that he hadn't heard from the Packers. Well, turns out that's BS, obviously. As far as we're concerned in the great North Tundra, the Jets can have him. I think Vegas gave him an extra game and a half, assuming they have him over last year. So, yeah, I think we'll be okay missing a game and a half and a gajillion dollars. So that's my take, Romy. I'm out.
Nice job, Don. You know me, I'm a big Aaron Rodgers guy, but I got to respect that take. Way to work in Sunday sermon, too. That's solid. Nice job for a first time. A Lazarus shout out. All right, so let me ask you this, dude. You feel good about your chances. And I like the point that you made that Vegas feels like the Jets are a game and a half better with Aaron. You said, great, a game and a half. We'll take our chances with that. All right, what you're going to take your chances with is Jordan Love. What you're going to take your chances with is a guy that Andy Reid has never heard of. A guy that Andy Reid has never forgotten anything, ever. Andy Reid is one of those brilliant coaches that could probably tell you every single play he's called or seen in his entire career, every situation. Yet for some reason, he can't remember, either he doesn't know or can't remember Jordan Love, who he went up against. Either way, that's not good, Packer fan.
What did you think of Jordan Love in that quarter? One by up in the game that he played against you, what was that, 2 years ago?
Who's that?
Jordan Love.
Trying to remember Jordan Love.
Packers, he started that game when Rodgers missed it because of COVID.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah. No, I thought he was good.
My man. Ionic. That was incredible.
Ionic.
Not he didn't hear the question. He heard the question and heard the quarterback in question and then said, who's Jordan Love?
Who's that?
Jordan Love.
Trying to remember Jordan Love.
I don't remember Jordan Love. Your heir apparent, Packer fan. Andy Reid. All right, this is not Herb the Perv never hearing of Aaron Donald. This is not Herb the Perv, the worst NFL coach ever, not knowing who Aaron Donald was. This is Andy Reid, one of the best coaches ever, who faced your heir apparent, who not only doesn't remember how it went, but doesn't seem to even know who he is.
Who's that?
Jordan Love.
I'm not saying that you don't have a right to be frustrated with Aaron, but I'm not so sure I'd be in such a rush to get to Jordan Love if Andy Reid doesn't even know who he is and went up
Who's
against
that?
Him.
Jordan Love.
Trying to remember Jordan Love.
Andy Reid. You know Andy Reid. Just won another ring. You know Andy Reid. Future Hall of Famer. You know Andy Reid. One of the great coaches ever. Again, that's not Herb the Perv, one of the worst coaches ever, not having any idea what the hell he's doing. So, yo, that was a really good call from Wisco, but I'd be concerned. Who do you believe? Do you believe the Packers when they say he's not responsive? We tried to talk to Aaron in the offseason. He has not been responsive. So we had to do what we had to do because he's not responding. Or do you believe Aaron, who came out of his darkness retreat and said, hey, man, I thought that they were giving me time to make my decision. I thought that I could do what I wanted to do. I thought that I could do what I had to do to make my decision. And then I came out and I realized they had already made their decision. So I guess I am playing. I'm guessing I'm back. No, I've not seen Wick yet. I've not seen Wick 4 yet. All right. I like it. Yeah, let's go to Matt in San Diego. What's up, Matt? How are you?
What a time to be alive, my friend. First time, long time. Backstory, I was a ball boy for San Diego State in the dark ages back when Fred Trickle was the coach in the mid-90s in Peterson Gym. And my dad would listen to the Mighty 690 and you on the way home after every game. Great time to be alive. The Aztecs are here. Here the bleep we are. Rocks are scared to show up to this rock fight that we play on defense. The Padres have slayed the dragon up the Interstate 5, and we slayed the murder apologist accomplice, number one overall seed, San Diego State or San Diego Padres. Hold on, my alarm's going off.
Ah, man, I'm sorry about that, Matt.
You don't like that.
I was pulling for you, Matt. Matt, I want you to get that plane down so badly. Matt, I was on your side. Matt, that hurt me. That hurt me. In fact, I'm going to say that hurt me more than it hurt you. I mean, Alvin, you're cold-blooded. Sometimes, Alvin, you don't give a damn when you're asleep at the switch. You just have a guy who just said, didn't he say he was a ball boy? In the 90s. And he listened to me with his dad on the Mighty 690 where I got my big break. And he's been listening ever since. And he finally got up the nerve to call because it's a great time to be alive and things have never been better in San Diego. And finally, after all this time, as a kid, he grows up listening to me, father and son. Never mind fathers passing baseball down to their sons. Never mind that generational bullcrap. The jungle is generational. We had this amazing moment, and Alvin's like, bam! You're done, Matt.
Murder apologist accomplice, number one overall seed. San Diego,
I knew what he was trying to say.
San Diego Padres. Hold on, my alarm's going off.
Matt, I'm sorry, brother. I appreciate you, dude. Thank you very much for all the support. But Alvin's got a job to do, too. Alvin's ruthless. Ruthless in the bedroom and ruthless on the board.
Yeah.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. My thanks to Brian Dutcher, San Diego State men's basketball coach. Zach Charbonnet, former UCLA running back. Have a great day. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow. We're out.